Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New World Report with my colleagues Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. The news since the Trump administration is to return is a fire hose. So we begin with, right at hand, the border with Mexico. The headline is very, very promising for a campaign promise. What to know about Tom Homan, the former ICE head returning as Trump's border czar? This is National Public Radio reporting. In his role as border czar, says the NPR, which does not require Senate confirmation, Mr. Homan will be in charge of the southern and northern U.S. borders, as well as all maritime and aviation security. Joseph, I come to you because you've been watching very carefully the rise of the narco-terrorist state throughout Latin America. That, conjoined with the lack of border controls these last 4 years, have put the United States in a vulnerable position. Of many bad actors have come into the United States and are operating openly now, as far as I can tell. Tom Homan, is this a Band-Aid on a wound, or is this someone, to your knowledge, who is ready and able to secure the border and also, and the hard part, return people who are here illicitly and with bad intentions? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. No, Tom Homan is an excellent pick. Tom, as you mentioned, was the former director of ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They're in charge of deportations for the United States government. And he served in that capacity in the previous Trump administration. And since President Trump left office, he's been doing something through an organization that he created called Border 911, where he's basically been touring throughout the United States with other folks and talking about the perils of the open border, essentially the crime, the gangs, the pedophiles, the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, fentanyl. And it's done quite an impact. I've actually been to a couple of their events, and they've done quite an impact at waking up Americans to the importance of securing the border, but also the importance of essentially upholding the rule of law. So Tom has had the trust of the president, President Trump, for many years now, and I think it's no surprise for those of us that have been following it closely that he's named the border czar. And as being named the border czar, he doesn't have to go through Senate confirmation, so he's going to be able to get to work right away. I think it's also telling that technically the second political appointment that President Trump has made right after the chief of staff, which was Susie Wiles, to give you a sense of how important the border is to the new Trump administration. I think this is going to be very important. And to complement that, my understanding is it's just been reported by the news that Stephen Miller is looking like to be appointed as the deputy chief of staff. For those that aren't familiar with Stephen Miller is also an immigration hawk, and he's somebody that's worked with Tom Homan on border issues. So I think that the border is going to be a clear top priority for the new Trump administration. And I think Tom Homan is the perfect pick to be the border czar.
And to your information, Joseph, because you've been keen on this story for some years, not just the border with the U.S., but all borders being open to bad actors. Is this a practical thing that can happen, or is this rhetoric? Can you close our border to bad actors? Can you find bad actors and deport them? Can it be done?
Yes, it can be done. And the thing is, you have to, well, first, I would say the first component is the obvious component, but it's one that we've been lacking, is you have to have a high level of political will. And I think it's clear that President Trump has this, meaning that you have to be willing to take fake news stories by the media. You have to be willing to take pressure from lobbyist groups. You have to be able to take this political pressure, because it's going to come, but it's definitely possible. But I think the key to making this work is the information effort to make sure that Americans and pretty much the world is cognizant of how the mass deportation is taking place. because President Trump has said this, as has Tom Homan, and I think it's very clear that the immediate focus is going to be on criminal networks. This includes gangs, this includes human trafficking networks, drug trafficking networks, even pedophiles that are existing inside the United States. And the idea is to basically find them, target them, locate them, and deport them as quick as possible. And so I think if you create a messaging effort that accompanies the deportation, it helps Americans and everybody in the world understand that you're serious about securing our cities and our states throughout the country. And I think that that's going to be something that's going to be very key to make the mass deportation effort effective.
Ernesto, looking at this from the ministry's point of view, in all of Latin America, is this something that will be a guide to other countries that are burdened by migrants coming in without their ability to stop them? I'm noting my recent information is that a lot of Venezuelans have found their way to Argentina and may or may not be a burden on that state, which itself is going through some severe changes. There's a lot of poverty in Argentina as they look to move away from the Peronista control into a open market. So Brazil or other large countries, Colombia, are they going to hear this message that the U.S. is being rigorous about migration of bad actors? Are they going to respond to your measure? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Yes, I do think so. I think that's a game changer for the whole migration issue across Latin America. The open borders situation in the U.S. has created havoc in Latin America because most of or much of the migration goes through different countries in order to reach the United States. So in Brazil, that's the case. Elsewhere, that's the case. So that's one point. The other is the attitude of governments will probably be affected by that. Today, many countries have something similar to an open borders attitude. Even when it's damaging to themselves. But there's some sort of mentality that you cannot do anything about migration. So this is probably going to change, at least from the point of view of the public opinion in Latin American countries, that will probably demand something similar to what President Trump will be probably doing, right? In terms of securing the border with all the impacts that immigration has. So, I think it's a game changer because it goes beyond the question of migration. It goes towards a new approach towards organized crime and the criminal networks that we have been talking about often in the show, by the way. So if President Trump really comes with a very strong stance against criminal gangs, treating them as terrorist organizations, like he has suggested, employing the military, employing intelligence, employing special forces, special operations, financial intelligence, and all that. Of course, with a focus on domestic criminal organizations in the U.S. But if he does that, everything will be pulled from the, let's say, this spaghetti bowl of criminal networks in Latin America, I think, or I hope. Right? So this can affect it can affect politics because in many countries, criminal networks are linked to politics. Or conversely, politics in many Latin American countries is part of criminal networks. So how far will it go? Can it go towards exposing some regimes' liaison with organized crime? Maybe, hopefully, right? Can it be a new inspiration for countries who want to fight strongly organized crime like Argentina? Yes, definitely. More cooperation in that case. So I think the whole political, not only security situation in the region can be changed.
Joseph, is it your information that the Trump administration is aware of the suspicion that Venezuela is using migration as a way to undermine the credibility of the United States, not only Venezuela, but its partners from overseas? That would be Moscow, Beijing, Tehran, Pyongyang. Does Washington understand that this isn't just about people who have come across the border for a job or a life in Colorado? This is about a deliberate policy of shipping people to the U.S. to wreck comity.
Well, if the current Washington doesn't understand that, they're about to get a big wake-up call with the new Trump administration, because with the appointments that we just mentioned, Tom Holman and Stephen Miller, Susie Wiles and others, they very much do understand that. Matter of fact, it was a centerpiece of President Trump's campaign. He talked about the Venezuelan gangs that are basically taking over cities throughout the country. And in that, there was a report that came out very recently by border authorities, an intelligence report that came out by some border authorities that said that they have some sources that indicate that Venezuela has a plan, or at least a covert action, to t send intelligence operatives into the country through the southwest border to connect them with Venezuelan gangs to target Venezuelan military dissidents that are living inside the United States that probably sought asylum or probably got asylum many years ago. So this is something that we have to pay attention to. This already happened in Chile. In Chile, there was an assassination of a former Venezuelan lieutenant, a member of the Venezuelan Special Forces, that got targeted, kidnapped, and killed, brutally assassinated and buried 10 feet underground by supposedly the Tren de Aragua, the Venezuelan mega gang. But if you look at that operation closely, you know that the Venezuelan intelligence services were involved in that, because it was way more sophisticated than what a simple gang could do. So I think this is a serious problem. It's the Maduro regime has weaponized migration and used it as a weapon of asymmetric war against the United States. And I think the Trump administration is on top of this.
Ernesto, is Lula da Silva's government, is it intending to separate itself from the Maduro government on this issue and others? There's been some suggestion that they're not on the same page. How is it these days? And let's stay with migration. Are the Venezuelan bad actors in Brazil, and is that a threat to Lula da Silva?
There are some signs, several signs that they are. Over the years, since 2015 especially, hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans have come into Brazil without almost any control. Most of them are poor people who actually Brazil is trying to help, but among them, several criminals, either Venezuelan or Cuban, and not only criminals, but let's say criminal political agents, so to say, have come into Brazil. That's almost for sure. So there's an issue there. What's going to happen if Lula keeps signaling some distances from Maduro? What will those Venezuelan sleeping cells do? Okay. So, but still, I think Lula is playing much more of a game for the audience than really changing his mind about Venezuela or Maduro. I think Maduro has become toxic for Lula, so he wants to show distances. But I do believe that under the surface, he is through his agents is still coordinating with Maduro. That being said, is that because of ideological preferences? Maybe, but also because well, maybe the Venezuelan regime knows a lot about Lula and his regime, including through those Venezuelan agents or Cuban Venezuelan agents, probably in action inside Brazil. So Maduro could maybe be blackmailing Lula here or there. Some people speculate about this, so that Lula doesn't go all the way in distancing from Maduro. But we'll have to see what's going to happen when the current Maduro terms expires on January. If technically, or if I mean explicitly or implicitly, Lula will recognize a new Maduro term. But I still think there are two games being played: one for us, for everyone to see, and the other in order to coordinate the continuance of both regimes in power, both Lula and Maduro.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. Brazil is the second largest country in the Western Hemisphere in the New World, and critical to the success of the whole of the Western Hemisphere. Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. There's trouble in Bolivia, big trouble, involving a man who's a threat to the whole area, not just Bolivia. When we come back.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.